Daf Dalud of Likutei Torah Vayikra, the Maimer Lois Hashbis Melech. So the Maimer discusses the meaning of salt. Salt, on one hand, but doesn't taste good by itself. On the other hand, when you mix it with meat, it adds a lot of flavor and it makes the meat taste a lot better. So salt represents gvura, severity. It's sharp. But on the other hand, when it's with something else, it makes it taste nicer. It improves the taste. And it represents Kabbalah, which adds flavor to the regular learning of Nigla, of the revealed parts of Torah, Halacha, and Gemara, etc. And through this, salt, it says, is the eternal covenant, the Bris Olam. And like we see simply that salt preserves things. And this represents that the connection between us and Hashem is enhanced by the salt, which assists with refining ourselves in our part in the world, and through that bonding with Hashem eternally. That's the basic mimer. And then there's a longer beer after this short mimer. There's a longer beer, which will the explanation on the mimer that we'll start with today. So first of all, the Alter Rebbe makes the point that although in Tanya we talk about the 10 spheres, the 10 attributes which make up the personality, so to speak, of the soul, but they're only the sort of vessels and externals. The essence of the soul is beyond the 10 sphere, beyond any personality trait, and it's simply this simple godly soul. We can't really describe it. And that's similar to Hashem, that although we talk about different qualities of Hashem, but Hashem is really beyond any quality. And those qualities are just vessels, and we can't describe Hashem himself. And this is like the Maral's really doesn't like the Rambam's description of Hashem as the ultimate of intellect, and says that Hashem is, of course, higher than intellect and is simple. We can't describe Hashem with any quality. What the Rambam Hasidus accepts as true only within worlds. In other words, that Hashem's light is enclosed in worlds, then it's enclosed in the different spherots, the different attributes, and in particular in Chachma, which is the highest form of wisdom, where we conceive an idea. And in that conception of idea, which requires nullification to the inner self, to the inner soul. So that's where Hashem's light is most manifest. Now, in Shema, we start off and say Hashem is one. Then we talk about loving Hashem with all our heart and all our soul. So all our soul, there's different interpretations, either that we're willing to give out ourself up, give our life up for Hashem, or that we will align every part of our soul, our thought, speech, and action with godly thought, speech, and action. So seemingly these are two different explanations, but really they're just the expression. The second interpretation is just the expression of the first. And first when we say Hashem is one, that's our godly soul talking and acknowledging that Hashem is one. Then when we say we're willing to give ourselves up, that's through convincing the animal soul as well that Hashem is the real thing, and that's what life is about. So, and then when we do that, then we want to align all parts of ourselves, thought, speech, and action with Hashem. Now, just as our soul is really beyond intellect, it's simple, and Hashem is really simple, just that they both express themselves in Chachma, in intellect. So too, when we learn Torah, it's not about the intellect, but it's that in the ideas of Torah, Hashem's essence is manifest. And therefore, when we learn with Bittul, with self-nullification and humility, we connect to that essence beyond the ideas that we're actually learning. And that's why the Tanoim, the sages of the Mishnah and of the Talmud, were so engrossed in learning Torah with humility, that way they connected to Hashem himself. And And therefore, we have to ensure that our learning is with humility and with self-sacrifice, that it's not simply learning intellectual ideas, but it's with sort of arousing this self-nullification that happens through davening with intent and reflection.